today's episode of Daily Musings. I am Alicia, and I'm joining you on video today. I just wanted to let you guys know I am still doing other episodes on my podcast platforms, which will be linked below. I'm experimenting with that medium as opposed to video because I feel like it's easier to basically convey factual information, reference my notes and things like that. So I am playing around with it. I don't want to totally drop the video form, but I am thinking about how I can shift things. So as always, this is a work in progress. So just wanted to let you know. Today, we're going to be talking about taming your distractions. And this is the final bit of insight that I'm going to be sharing from Chris Bailey's book, Hyperfocus, which I talked about as well in yesterday's podcast, as well as some videos that you saw in the last couple weeks. So the big idea here is that distractions are something that we all deal with, and Chris Bailey had some ideas on how to manage them and deal with them. So that's going to be our topic for today. As a side note, I really like deep diving, interesting books and trying to extract as much essence of it as I possibly can, as opposed to just reading and forgetting. So one thing that I've been experimenting with lately is doing a second read of books that I feel like particularly warrant it. It's something that is kind of a new process to me, so I don't want to talk about it just yet, but stay tuned because I will discuss it in a further episode. So anyway, I believe that focus is one of the most powerful skills that you can develop, not only to make you more effective, but also to make you happier. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Productivity isn't about just becoming some kind of robot. It's about living a better life. And focus, I think, is one of the key ingredients for that. Being able to focus is such a rare commodity these days because so many people are distracted and take a superficial perspective on things and don't really dive deep into things in the way that maybe perhaps we used to because our world is so distracting. So focus is something I think about a lot. Taming distractions is something I think about a lot. And I wanted to share some of the thoughts that Chris Bailey had in his book on this particular topic as well that I thought were useful. First off, we are hopelessly distracted people. So according to Chris's research, people switch tasks at work every 40 seconds or something like 566 times in the average workday. So we're always bouncing back and forth. And we especially resist complex work. That's when we're most likely to shift to our email. Now, of course, complex work is what makes is within our unique capabilities, right? Because non-complex work, it's like, okay, a robot could do that, but complex work is unique to you, and it's often your most meaningful work that you contribute the most value doing, but it's also hard, right? The complex work by its very nature requires a lot of focus, energy, attention, creativity. So that's why we're more likely to distract ourselves before we do it. It's the classic thing. Those of you who are writers will understand. It's like how you'll invent every excuse in the book to procrastinate instead of actually sitting down and writing. Email is one thing that I've talked about before. I mean, I obviously have a little bit of a complex relationship with email, but it is enormously distracting. The idea with email, and I talked about this a bit yesterday, it's we want to tame it, but not eliminate it because like email consumes a lot more attention than time, which means that it's something that you're not going to be able to eliminate. I mean, even the idea of inbox zero, I've kind of realized is besides the point for me. It's not about conquering it because it's a never-ending series of requests that you're going to be receiving. You're never going to finish email. It's always going to be ongoing. But you can be a little bit more deliberate on when you check for messages so it's not constantly distracting you throughout the day. So one thing that you can do is decide ahead of time when you're going to be checking emails instead of having notifications on that are pinging you constantly. So are there a couple times a day? It depends on your work, right? I usually check email. Right now I'm in the habit of checking it about once a day, which I find is adequate. I think most people are understanding that, but it depends on your work. Can you predetermine a time to check email so that you're not frequently being distracted by it and just reacting on autopilot? So aside from those times that you set aside, you don't even peek at your inbox. You turn off all notifications. You remove it from as a source of distraction because it is a huge source of distraction for us. And also it's important to check for new messages only when you have the time and energy to reply to them. This is something that I mess up a lot where back when I used to have email on my phone, I would just, you know, I'd have a spare pocket of 3 minutes. I'm like, oh, I wonder what new messages I have in my inbox. Curiosity gets the better of me. I check it and then I read something and then I'm like, oh, I need to reply to this. but I can't reply to it in the moment because I'm on my phone. I'm busy. I don't have the time. It was just like a little break anyway. And then I end up reading these messages, not responding to them. And then I need to, in the future, read them again and just go through the whole mental process all over again, which is wasting time. And then all of a sudden you have this knowledge of the email existing that you have to reply to in the back of your mind, taking up mental space. So that's a pain. And one final thought that Chris shared in his book is the idea of implementing the 5-sentence rule. I'm not sure if you guys have come across this, the idea of basically limiting all your email correspondence to 5 sentences. Anything longer that would be more complex would perhaps translate to a phone call. There's a whole internet basically cult following on this particular idea. I can't remember what the URL, something about 5-sentence emails or something like that. Some people will put it as a like the footer in their email messages as an explanation. So let's move on though to phones, because probably way more distracting than almost anything else in our lives are our smartphones. I've had an arduous relationship with my phone. So I think that there are a lot of conveniences that come with having it. Obviously, there are really useful apps like fitness apps, map apps, anything like that, that's going to make navigating my world a little bit easier, as opposed to having like a separate thing for everything. It's kind of like an all-in-one device. And I really like that convenience, but sometimes I wonder, okay, what's the trade-off? Because there's always a trade-off for convenience. So here are some words from Chris regarding his relationship with his phone I thought was interesting, and I saved it. So over time, I've changed my relationship with my phone. Instead of seeing it as a device that should stay attached to my hip for the entire day, I've started to regard it as a powerful, more annoying computer. I keep it stowed in my laptop bag instead of my pocket. So I like this idea because we tend to keep our phones like within a 1-foot to 3-foot radius of us at all times, which means that we're going to be checking it regularly. If it's in your view, you're going to check it more. But if you stow it away in a bag or in another room, you're going to check it less, and it's going to be less distracting to you. So another way that you can deal with this, similar to the email, is you can determine when you can check your phone. You can kind of keep your phone time limited as well. So one thing that people might do is do the rule of threes. So you check your phone at 9, 12, 3, and 6. Those are your like phone times. You can get all the social media and texting and whatever it is out of your system in that little chunk of time, and then you put away your phone for another 3 hours. If something's really urgent, I leave my ringtone on, but I turn off my notifications for pretty much everything else, because most things can wait a few hours. Most things don't need my urgent attention. Sometimes I also turn my ringtone off if I'm doing really focused work. And sometimes I forget to turn on my ringtone afterwards, and then people try calling me and get mad at me when they can't reach me. So that's something I need to work on as well. But the idea is, don't be always available, because if you're always available, you're always available to be distracted by your phone, which is a really big problem if you're trying to do important, meaningful work. Even the idea of having your phone in your viewpoint can be distracting. So if you put your phone on the table, if it's in your line of sight, you're going to check it more, you're going to pick it up more, you're going to think about more. So it's a good practice to leave your phone in your pocket. Like say you go out for coffee with a friend, and you guys both put your phone on the table. You might say like, okay, we're not going to check our phones. You're probably going to check your phones because they're in your vision. It's going to be taking up a little bit. It's like a background process. It's running. It's consuming a little bit of your RAM, just having it there in front of you. So if you go for coffee or if you're visiting with friends or something like that, just leave your phone in your bag, because if you pull it out, you're going to be thinking about it. It's the same with work. If you're working and your phone's sitting in front of you at the table beside you, especially if you have the notifications on, but even if it's not, just having that little black box there is going to be, oh, I should check this. You're going to pick it up so much more. I think smartphones also get in the way of having natural breaks that replenish us and refresh us. So if we pull out our phone when we're standing in line or when we're in the bathroom, in these little pockets, these little 5-minute pockets, we could be just lost in thought. We could allow our minds to wander, daydreaming to happen, rest to occur, dots to connect. These are often the times where creativity happens, where we integrate information from the day. If we're go, go, go all the time, we don't give our brains time to integrate, which is what we do when we're sleeping. But it also happens when we have these little pockets of blank space where we're not just like consuming information constantly. So I think in terms of distracting ourselves, this matters too, because when we're having breaks and we pull at our phones, we're basically distracting ourselves from having blank space. It's not just work. It's not just active engaged projects or conversations or things that we can be distracted from. We can also be distracted from time alone to replenish ourselves. One main, major, and final benefit of removing distractions in advance and clearing space is that you gain the freedom to work at a slower and more deliberate pace. A lot of, I'm not a machine. Like I said at the beginning, I'm not a robot. I'm not like just trying to crank through as many tasks as I can as fast as I can. A lot of the work I do requires that I have big blocks of time where I can brainstorm, sit and think, play around with ideas, put them together. Where it's not necessarily like I get an outcome, but it's not about can I get an outcome in the smallest amount of time. I need the space to figure it out. So for example, when I'm creating a course, or even if I'm just creating an individual lesson within a course, I often need 90 plus minutes where I'm totally undistracted so that I can just think. So I can think about like, okay, what's the best way that I can teach this? What's a way that where I can think about so many different factors, like how other people are going to be receiving the information, the difficulty level, the concepts that I want to include, things that I'm thinking about for maybe 2 months from now that I want to teach, things that I've already taught 2 months ago and that I need to reinforce. There are so many complex factors when it comes to planning a lesson that I need a really like clear level field. And I can't do that if I'm distracted every 5 minutes. I'm not going to do my best work, and I'm not going to bring as much value to the work that I do. And it's not just work. Having slower, more purposeful conversations or interactions with friends is a wonderful thing to be able to do, to be able to have the expansive time at your disposal to just sit and chat with someone, which, by the way, is not very easy to do and always, not always practical when you have a small child. There's a lot of things that are going on in my life. I'm often quite busy for this, but when I do have the chance to hang out with people, I try to do it in a way, and I don't always succeed, but I try to do it in a way that's undistracted and that isn't as much as I can control bound by time. So I'd like to have more than, say, 30 minutes to chat with someone, because then you get this feeling of, okay, we have space, we have room. And once you have that space and room and you're not distracted, that's when you really get high quality, meaningful conversations where you really can get closer to people and have a more meaningful life as a result. Because ultimately, in essence, distractions, it's not just about eliminating distractions so you work better. It's about removing distractions because you're distracting yourself from your own life and from enjoying your own life. And that's why I care so much about this. Thank you for watching today's video, and I'll catch you in the next one.